Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. So today we are reading from Adi Leela, chapter 17, texts 13 to 17 to 16. So 16 is on the board, so I'll just read the translations for the first few verses. 13. One day Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited to Lord Nityananda Prabhu a six-armed form bearing a conch shell, disc, club, lotus flower, bow and flute. 14. Thereafter, the Lord showed him his four-armed form, standing in a three-curved posture. With two hands he played upon a flute, and in the other two he carried a conch shell and disc. 15. Finally, the Lord showed Nityananda Prabhu his two-armed form of Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, simply playing on his flute, his bluish body dressed in yellow garments. Srila Prabhupada gives a one-line purport here. Chaitanya Mangal vividly elaborates upon this description. So please consult Chaitanya Mangal for further details. And then we come to today's verse, text 16. Okay, translation. Nityananda Prabhu then arranged to offer Vyasa Puja, or worship of the spiritual master, to Lord Sri Gaurasundar. But Lord Chaitanya carried the plough-like weapon called Mushala in the ecstasy of being Nityananda Prabhu. Purport. By the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu arranged for the Vyasa Puja of the Lord on the night of the full moon. He arranged for the Vyasa Puja, or Guru Puja, through the agency of Vyasdev. Since Vyasdev is the original Guru, spiritual master, of all who follow the Vedic principles, worship of the spiritual master is called Vyasa Puja. Nityananda Prabhu arranged for the Vyasa Puja, and Sankirtan was going on, but when he tried to put a garland on the shoulder of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw himself in Lord Chaitanya. There is no difference between the spiritual positions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, or Krishna and Balaram. All of them are but different manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. During this special ceremony, all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that there is no difference between Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki. So this is a very elevated topic, a very esoteric topic, and this whole pastime itself is full of ecstasies which are not of this world. This is day two of the Vyasa Puja attempt. The first day didn't quite happen because Nityananda Prabhu was too ecstatic. So they essentially had to call off the Vyasa Puja because there was no hope of actually having a reasonably organized attempt at glorifying Vyasadeva. So this is the second day. Mahaprabhu said to Nityananda, okay, we can have it tomorrow if you want. So they are arranging this tremendous worship of the spiritual master of Vyasadeva. And the aim obviously is to glorify the preceptor, the original preceptor of the Shastra. Because with that Shastra we then have a chance to make a success out of our lives. So the principle of offering respects to Srila Vyasadeva is a very essential part of the Vedic tradition. So there is a whole day dedicated to this, Guru Vyas Purnima, when actually the spiritual master headed by Srila Vyasadeva is worshipped. Now of course we understand that Nityananda Prabhu is also the preceptor spiritual master. And here in this verse there is a detail being drawn out of the non-difference between Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's an interesting point. Because this concept of non-difference and oneness but still having distinctions is a common theme throughout a course of Vedic study. It's one of these things we all have to adjust to. How is it that something is one, non-different, yet there are clearly some differences? We know that Lord Krishna is non-different to Lord Balaram, and Lord Balaram is non-different to the other expansions of the Lord. But still there are certain differences, distinctions of behavior, distinctions of qualities, distinctions of attitudes and relationships and moods. So this is something that is, it's nice to explore a little. And here especially we're discussing the non-difference of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, who are of course Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram respectively. And they are Lord Krishna and Balaram, but in other incarnations they will appear as different personalities. They appear as Lord Ramachandra, as Lakshman, and so forth. In every incarnation or in every manifestation of the Lord, whenever the Lord desires, his constant companions are always present. So therefore we have the Panchatattva here, who represent all the, who give us an understanding of five personalities are always present. So the devotees are there, the Lord's internal potency is there, the preceptor, the authority figure Mahavishnu is there, and so many aspects are involved in the Lord's appearance. There is a much more detailed description, obviously, in terms of descriptions of potencies, the different shaktis which the Lord carries. But essentially these are five features. But of course there are many more than five features. The Lord descends with his entourage, with his close companions. When the Lord descends to the earth, to any planet, he also comes with his mother, his father. And so Mother Sachi that we read about and hear about here, she also appears in other as the Lord's mother in all other incarnations. Arjuna is there as his companion in some form or other. So the Lord comes with his complete entourage, and they have a wonderful set of pastimes, and by observing those pastimes everyone in the world has a chance to make some success out of their life. Because without that observance there really is no hope. Now we are fortunate that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu appeared 500 years ago. Because for us to comprehend the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram is very, very difficult. Those pastimes are definitely enjoyable, they're relishable. And if we read Krishna book, if we enjoy it, if we relish the details, if we try and immerse ourselves in the moods that the different personalities are going through, we also derive great pleasure. But for us to take a step from being an external observer and appreciating the pastimes of the Lord, and to actually entering into a close connection with the Lord, requires some qualification. And without that qualification, no one can demand anything of the Lord. Why doesn't the Lord reveal himself to me? Why don't I feel completely at ease or satisfied in a complete understanding of Krishna as God? Well, as Prabhupada made it clear, that Krishna is not our order supplier. It's not his job to appear whenever we feel he should appear. Or it's not his job to reveal himself to us, or to save us from distress, or indeed do anything for us according to our demands. Krishna appears by his sweet will, and he does things for his devotees out of his sweet will. When his devotees have approached him and have satisfied him. So that much is the job of the devotee, to come close to the Lord through a practice of devotional service and to adopt a certain mood that pleases the Lord. Now in this whole Leela, there is a special principle which comes out in connection with Nityananda Prabhu. So Nityananda Prabhu, we know, is the original, as I mentioned, the preceptor spiritual master. And so when this whole ecstatic episode is going on, obviously you can imagine there's, after this point, there is a lot more dancing, singing, falling over, ecstatic symptoms. And at the end of it, you know, Nityananda ends up in trance, on the floor, oblivious to what's happening. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has to awaken him. And so he explains to him, look, you wanted us to do this Vyasa Puja ceremony. We've done it. Now please instruct all those around you. Give them love of Godhead. You've come, you've prayed, you've wanted to see me, you've now had my darshan, and now please disseminate this devotional service, this ecstatic taste of pure devotion to everyone around you. Please get up. Whoever you cast your glance upon, they have a chance to move forward in spiritual life. But if anyone harbors even the slightest enmity towards you, the slightest envy, that's the word used, then they don't have a chance of attracting my favor, even if they worship me. So to worship the Lord, here we have one small example, that we have to first of all pacify and satisfy Lord Nityananda Prabhu. If we satisfy Lord Nityananda Prabhu, then he has a direct ticket to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But even in that sense, we shouldn't really be thinking like that. Because Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya are in themselves non-different in that one sense. So we can perhaps explore that a bit more as I mentioned. When the Lord engages in his pastimes in this world, he obviously is Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. But then a process of expansions begins. And through those expansions, the Lord actually sets in place, he fills all the positions. Just like in a government after an election, all the positions need to be filled so that different departments, institutes, etc. can be formed and can actually do their different duties. So the Lord also has to do something like that. Or he chooses to. He doesn't have to, but he likes to. So he sets up a whole series of personalities who all happen to be his expansions. So the first expansion is Lord Balaram. And Lord Balaram is practically the same as the Lord, with one difference, that he acts always in a completely subservient position to the Lord. And the Lord acts in general, except on special occasions when he has to directly, or not has to, when he chooses to directly worship Nityananda, he generally acts as the master, as the Prabhu of Lord Nityananda. So Lord Krishna is in that role. That role is not a role that's elected. That's Krishna's inherent innate position, the source of everything that there is. So Lord Balaram is his almost identical expansion, and he's the first expansion. So then the Chaturvyuha expansions, these four personalities, Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha, Vasudev, these personalities are part of the requirements for creation. Then there is a second set of expansions, Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudev. So Krishna expands in the second set as Vasudev, and Lord Balaram expands as Sankarshan. And then Aniruddha and Prajumna, they're also further expansions coming from Balaram. So in that sense, the very first person in the entire creation, not creation, not material creation, the very first prominent person is Balaram. And then a multiple set of personalities appears. And in that second set, we then have the three components required for material creation to take place. So Sankarshan, who is the original cause of the Mahavishnu that we speak about, Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, Mahavishnu who lies on the causal ocean. So Balaram generates, Balaram as the original preceptor of all of the creative potency within this world, in a corner of the spiritual universe, he creates this causal ocean. And he lies there. And he lies there as Mahavishnu. And then from within the pores of his body, he fills that with water. And so that is the setting for creation to take place. Then the other two personalities, Prajumna and Aniruddha, they manifest, or you can say they expand or give rise to Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Shirodakshaya Vishnu. So now you have the three components. You have Karanadakshay Vishnu, from whom all the worlds emanate, from the pores of his body. Then from Karanadakshay Vishnu, you have Garbhadakshay Vishnu within each universe, which is the production of Lord Brahma. Then within each universe, the Lord again enters as Shirodakshay Vishnu and reclines on the milk ocean. All of these are emanating from Balaram. All of these are set in motion by Lord Balaram. Now we attribute creation and we attribute creative potency to the Lord, Lord Sri Krishna, as is correct. But if we look at it, we can see the details are actually brought about through the agency of Balaram. So hopefully we can see just what a tremendous expansion that is. It's not a form of the Lord which is any less potent. All of that key strength, power, everything that is required resides with Balaram. Yet Balaram is always in this constant mood of wanting to serve the Lord. Even though he has to act and has to expand as these Purusha avatars, he still prefers to remain as Balaram, the eternal servitor of Lord Krishna. So therefore he takes on a very humble and menial role. He manifests another form as Ananta, unlimited. And Ananta is also known as Shesha. And that's a form of a gigantic snake, serpent. And in that form, the Lord coils himself and acts as a special, it's described in the Chaitanya Bhagavata, as a couch for the Lord. Now most people's couches are a little different. A little bit of water and the whole thing is ruined. A little flood in the house, then the insurance claims start. But this couch, being non-different to Balaram, being Shesha himself, actually resides in this causal ocean and produces a very comfortable bed for the Lord to recline on. So that is the position that Lord Balaram likes. He likes to be the support, the Adhara Shaktim Avalambya Param Samurtim, as is explained in the Brahma Samhita. The Supreme Lord resides. Yakara Naranamajale Bhajatisma Yoga Nidram Ananta Jagadanda Saroma Kupa Adhara Shaktim Avalambya Param Swamurtim Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship that Lord Govinda who expands himself as Shesha and then who reclines on that bed, and from the pores of his body, from the pores of his hair follicles, all the worlds are produced. That is the person who I worship. So Balaram is vividly described there, his role as Shesha. And so Balaram, as the support for any of the Lord's pastimes or any of the Lord's desires or plans, if the Lord has an executive agenda that he produces, immediately Balaram is there, ready to assist in carrying out the Lord's orders and in carrying out those orders which aren't even spoken, that will assist the Lord to carry out his particular mission. So that is the glorious nature of Balaram, that he loves to do this. Now in connection with this special form of Lord Balaram as Shesha, there's a nice pastime with Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So as a very small baby, Lord Chaitanya was obviously very naughty. And so one day he was running around in the house, and he caught hold of a snake. There was an enormous snake going through the house, and he was chasing after the snake, trying to catch its tail. Now any parent, if they saw their child doing that, would be terrified, because it's dreadfully dangerous. But they couldn't do anything. But Lord Chaitanya had captured this snake. He had caught hold of his tail, and the snake didn't attack him or anything. The snake coiled himself up into a nice, beautiful form. And then Lord Chaitanya very peacefully climbed up into the snake's lap, as it were, and rested there very peacefully. Now just imagine the plight of all the ladies in the house, especially Mother Sachi. She's there, she can't go near to pick up Nimai, because there's a chance that the snake might bite him, or bite her. So it's one of those very tense situations. The pastime is nectar, it's beautiful. But just like Krishna constantly puts his well-wishers, his family members, Nanda, Yashoda. He put them constantly into great distress through anxiety for him. He does the same here in his Chaitanya Leela. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is lying there peacefully. And then after some time, after the Lord has had a nice rest, after he's played around, he's quite satisfied, Lord Nityananda realizes, or Shesha realizes, that actually my activities are causing distress to all the Lord's family. They're practically dead through anxiety of what I might do to harm them. So he starts to slither away. Of course, Nimai doesn't let him go. He runs after him and captures him again. And so this goes on for a few times. And eventually, they have enough courage, Mother Sachi has enough courage to come and pick up the Lord. And then the snake just slithers away and disappears somewhere. So that is one of these illustrations of how the Lord continues to engage in his pastimes in each and every one of his incarnations. Whenever he appears, he often mimics different pastimes. Lord Chaitanya mimicked some of the pastimes, his dealings with the gopis, when he came as Lord Chaitanya also. And he also mimicked many pastimes of destroying demons. Except Lord Chaitanya did that in a different way. Because in this particular pastime, Lord Chaitanya doesn't come with weapons. Sangha, Upanga, Anga, Parsadam, Astra Parsadam. His astras, his weapons, are different. They're not weapons that are meant to physically harm. Lord Chaitanya in this incarnation has to do the same job of changing the demoniac mentality. In previous yugas, he does that by finishing them off in a very visible way. In this yuga, in this incarnation, in this pastime, he does it by giving them pure love of Godhead. So his weapon is especially the holy name of the Lord. So that weapon that the Lord brings transforms the world and gives people more than they would have had in the past. So that is some of the great glorious nature of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, they've especially come to demonstrate the pastimes of Lord Krishna and to give us a chance to develop a little bit of qualification to approach the Lord. As I mentioned, to approach the Lord and to enter into the pastimes requires qualification. But Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are so merciful that when they see a little sincere attempt on our part to try to please our spiritual masters, our acharyas, in line of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, they give unlimited mercy. They give unlimited potency for us to move forward in devotional service. And if devotees and people in general simply grab that mercy, they make leaps and bounds of progress in their lives. And Lord Chaitanya, there really is no better shelter. Lord Nityananda is there to deal with all our needs, shastrically, to give us a solid background, strength. Nityananda is very powerful. Halahati Bhiti Nayana Yamunanam. We know the pastime how, carrying the plow in his hand, he terrified Mother Yamuna by dragging her. So that pastime we normally celebrate and discuss for Balaram Jayanti. So Nityananda has that power. This power cannot be underestimated. We think the material energy is very strong, but Nityananda's power is also very, very strong. And so that special feature of the Lord where he carries the plow and another weapon, the mushala, these are two very ferocious weapons that bring terror into the hearts of the non-devotees, bring terror into the likes of, for instance, Dvivida gorilla. It was with Balaram's mushala weapon that he smashed Dvivida's collarbone after Dvivida was causing Krishna and the gopis so much distress. So he acts, and so these weapons are very potent, very capable. Now in this pastime, this weapon appears again. As we read, Nityananda Veshe Kaila Mushala Dharana. Except, on this occasion, it's Lord Chaitanya carrying this weapon. So Nityananda, when he sees the six-armed form of the Lord, he sees a six-armed form, and two of those arms are carrying these weapons. This plow and this special mushala, which is like a club. And he realizes, Nityananda sees instantly that actually I am there. Now this is, for Nityananda, an overwhelming experience. Because he's about to worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, he's supposed to be worshipping Srila Vyasadeva. And Srivas Pandit has offered him a garland and has said to Nityananda Prabhu, of course on the order of Lord Chaitanya and according to the instructions that they've been researching, that please take this garland and offer it to Srila Vyasadeva and offer him your obeisances. So Nityananda Prabhu is saying yes, yes, but he's not really following the instruction. So then he goes to Lord Chaitanya and says, look, I'm trying my best, but we need your assistance here. Nityananda Prabhu doesn't want to worship Srila Vyasadeva. So then Lord Chaitanya comes before Nityananda Prabhu. And you know how beautiful Lord Chaitanya looks. So Nityananda Prabhu sees Lord Chaitanya and he immediately puts the garland on Lord Chaitanya's head and it gets tangled up in his hair. And there's a beautiful description in the Chaitanya Bhagavat where it looks exceptionally beautiful. So Nityananda Prabhu is demonstrating there that the Lord is the original form of Srila Vyasadeva. He's the original energetic power of Srila Vyasadeva. And then Lord Nityananda sees that the Lord is manifesting a special six-armed form. And at that point he sees himself present there as well. So we have this understanding that Nityananda is trying to worship Lord Chaitanya, thinking him to be the rightful person to receive the garland of Vyasadeva. But then he sees himself within there also. So it's a very complicated, intricate, but beautiful, intertwined set of pastimes. And of course the principle within this whole pastime is that one should worship Srila Vyasadeva. Because Vyasadeva is the empowered incarnation, the empowered incarnation of Lord Krishna. Ultimately, all qualities, all strengths, all facilities can be attributed to Krishna. But Krishna will allow different personalities to disseminate them and to make them available to people in general. So through the agency of Srila Vyasadeva, who is his own empowered incarnation, he causes the Vedas to be compiled, especially for Kali Yuga. And then he causes the Vedanta Sutra, the summary of the Vedas, to be written. And then realizing that that is not sufficient for the people in general, he then causes Srila Vyasadeva to compile the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the position of Vyasadeva is absolutely exceptional. And anyone sitting on the seat of Vyas, as I have the impudence to do today, is supposed to be acting in line with the intents and respects of Srila Vyasadeva. They're supposed to be accurately representing the words of Srila Vyasadeva in line with our parampara, as our parampara have explained it to us, as Srila Prabhupada has given us these details, as Mahaprabhu has revealed through his pastimes, as so many other exceptional personalities, Lochandas Thakur, Vrindavandas Thakur, Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. These three personalities have all been instrumental in writing biographies of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mangal, Sri Chaitanya Bhagwat, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. These persons are all empowered persons to give us this science of devotion and to give us this level of detail of the Lord's pastimes and his interactions that we can't really find anywhere. We actually need the mercy of the Lord to understand the precepts of the Bhagavatam. And the way to attract that mercy is to worship and to conduct our devotional service in an authorized way, understanding that the source of our devotion or the sustenance of our devotion is solid shastric basis. It's not something whimsical. It's not something that can change from day to day. As political moods change, the campaigns of one election are quite different to the campaigns of another. Well, the principles of spiritual life do not change so easily. They do not change based upon popular opinion. They don't change based upon what someone thinks is right in society. The Lord's instructions, the Lord's science, that is established. That is eternal. And so if we want to actually move forward in spiritual life, we have to take shelter of that unchanging, pure, strong support of Shastra. Everything else in this world is changing, not always for the better. That change isn't something we need to get caught up in. The ever-ending desire, the ever-ending pursuit for an increasing level of material comfort, happiness, enjoyment, increasingly at the expense of others. That's not an agenda that we need to adopt. We can, in fact, most people in this world do adopt it. That's their operating basis, to carry on this project as much as possible. But we don't have to. We can go back to the eternal, unchanging principles, as have been brought out very strongly here by Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. And if we follow in the footsteps of the acharyas who live by those principles, we actually make tremendous progress. And just imagine if one day, after we've made all this progress, we have the fortune of being present in an assembly like this, where these ecstatic symptoms are going on, where Lord Nityananda is chasing after a crocodile in the Ganga, where he's playing with snakes, where Lord Chaitanya is chastising him, where they're having tremendous loving exchanges out of great affection. Lord Nityananda, although he's just as potent as the Lord, never tries to act as the Lord's equal or his superior. His position is servant, and he's completely happy with that. So if the Lord sees that we are also happy, happily situated in that position with a desire to please him, then one day, who knows, we may also have the chance to actually observe these pastimes in person. So we have a great chance. It's a wonderful invitation that we have into this special party that's going on. But it's one which requires qualification. So if we read these verses, if we study them, then hopefully by the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, one day our desires will be fulfilled. Hare Krishna. Any comments, questions?